Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you, and good to see the house full. Thank you, musicians, too. We are Where are we now? Can you just start with the, yeah? Let me just tell you that we are starting today with the sermon series on Back to Basics. When we shared at the level of a church board, simply asking a question, what should be the theme for the year, including sermons, it was kind of a united agreement that we should go back to basics, and that's what we are calling it. Let's go back to basics. And we're really, when we talk about back to basics, we are talking about spiritual discipline of prayer, spiritual discipline of going back to the Word of God, spiritual discipline of sharing with others, those in need, and specifically also sharing the gospel of Jesus, going back to basics. And I suspect this has been born out of need, and this has been born out of the Holy Spirit upon us to focus on the basics. And we do need to focus on the basics. Let me share with you what are the sermons we are going to present in the next couple of months, from now all the way to the end, to March. The first one is, and the first and the second one are really fundamental ones. We are really laying basis for it, and I trust that it will be helpful for you, that it will be of a blessing to you, that it will be enticing for you, that you do get back to basics. We are so prone to slipping away from the basics. So the first one is, let's go for the most essential, and that is prayer for God. The next one is prayer and good news. And then prayer and our tears and struggles. So we're going to look at the practical problems that we face, how prayer relates to our crisis, that the crisis time in our life, tears and struggles in our time. Then we'll talk about prayer and our anxieties, prayer and our worries. Our next one will be prayer and a guilt. Guilt is real. How do we deal with guilt? Prayer and our doubts, prayer and our anger, and obviously prayer and the Bible, prayer and the Bible. I would say that prayer and the Bible would be one of those fundamental ones too. Now, I've spoken to people, and I myself have started reading this book. It's called Steps to Personal Revival. If after this sermon, or if even before this sermon, you do sense that you are in need of this, and you would like to go back to basics in a spiritual sense, I would want to recommend this book to you, and I'm giving it free of charge, but it is in limited numbers. I have altogether 50. So first come, first serve. After the sermon, I'm going to be there at the back of the church, and you are going to get it for free. I will be sharing some of the resources on prayer with you as we continue with this series on prayer. So, let me start with prayer, and let us go to the very basics of prayer. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And our prayer is that you surround this place with your angels. You fill this place with your Holy Spirit. You put aside every barrier placed by the enemy, a barrier around our minds and around our hearts. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will come through the power of your word, and that your blessing today will be resting upon us all. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I will change to this one. At the end of this sermon, this could be the prevailing thought for you that might remind you on something else that I was talking about today. And this is the prevailing thought. Is your prayer life characterized by prayer to God, or is your prayer life characterized by prayer for God? There is a difference. May I suggest to you that everybody prays? Arguably, even atheists pray when in time of crisis, maybe potentially when in danger, when their lives are endangered. There is no atheist in trenches, somebody says. Probably true. So in other words, everybody prays, and everybody prays to a higher being, to God. But the point of demarcation is here. Majority of people, while they pray to God, go by the wayside as far as praying for God. And that is a major difference. So here we are. Let's look at these three questions and just, as we look at them, think about ourselves. What is it we ask first? What's the most fundamental? Why is it that we need to ask this first? And what happens when we keep asking this first? All right. So what do we ask first? Let me not be myself who answer these questions. I'm going to use the words of Jesus, and maybe some of you might click straight away. Do you remember Jesus saying about what is it we ask first? Come on, quick. Giving you a chance. Seek ye, yes. Ah, you are here this morning. You're cheating. Remember Jesus saying this? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So talking about prayer, this is the starting point. This is the foundation. First, seek this. And then Jesus is very specific about two things: righteousness of God and his kingdom, number two. And then the third thing is everything else will be added unto you. Okay, that's what he's saying. Now, think about yourself, because we are all similar. We are all very similar. But we somehow are tempted to start with what and ask first for what? We are to ask very often for things which are added unto us as being the first. So that becomes our prayer to God rather than prayer for God. And that's a major difference. So our human nature, your human nature, my human nature, everybody's human nature is there to seek something else or somebody else as first, which Jesus classified as added things to you. So by default, we do not ask for God first and his righteousness and his kingdom. We are going to dissect what it means, but we are to ask first for things that are added to us, whatever they are. And there are so many different things that you desperately often ask for as number one in your life. Children. boyfriend, silver, gold, job, family, whatever it is, somehow can become for us that number one thing. What do we ask first? And I already answered that question. Jesus said his righteousness. What is righteousness? Translate it always to yourself, being right with God, being in a good relationship with God, being intimate with God, being in love with God, because he was first in love with you. You are special to him. You are important to him. And he wants that to be reciprocated. Be right with God. It is the gospel. The first thing that we ask is the righteousness of God. It is his perfect life through Christ Jesus accounted to you. His beautiful, perfect, morally upright life applied to you, part of you, in you. Seek that first, his righteousness. So it starts at the point of a cross where the most beautiful life was poured as an offering, and for the only purpose, which is to be given to you, righteousness of Christ, in exchange for your life that doesn't measure up, not only to God's standards, but even to your own, they don't measure up. So God says, I will give you my beautiful life in exchange for yours. Seek that first. Seek the righteousness of Christ. Start at the foot of Jesus. That's number one. Number two, so that it is the gospel you are seeking, gospel. Number two, you are seeking his kingdom. In other words, you are seeking loving obedience. When you start at the foot of the cross and meditate on it and seek him as number one, then you live for him. Then you live for him. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That's a Christian living. So that's back to basics. Back to basics. Where are you in this? How is it happening in your life as far as basics are concerned? Do you see why the church board and many in the church so was impressed that we need to go back to basics? Back to basics. Prayer. So you are there to ask daily for Jesus, your Savior and Lord, to be supreme, unmatched love of your life, who you want to follow and gladly obey. This is your prayer. That Jesus be your Savior and Lord and supreme, unmatched love of your life, who you follow and gladly obey. And look, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look what happens. You will get it. You get kingdom of God and you get his righteousness and you get everything else as well that he will want to add to you. But look what happens. You will not get, or let's be more precise, if you ask something else as first, it's likely that you won't get it. If something else is more important and your heart yearns, thirsts, wants more of that than God, then you might not get even that, and you definitely will not get his kingdom and his righteousness. So with the second one you lose, with the first one you gain. So it's all a question of focus.
back to basics. Here I am to share three requests which Moses asked of God, one after the other, and every single one of them were granted to him. All were answered. And the question is why? And the answer is because he prayed the essentials. He prayed the essentials. Let me give you just a bit of a background. It was at the time of a real crisis in the nation of Israel, when they were almost on a brink of being annihilated. At the time when Moses was on the top of Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments, and had this amazing experience to be in the very presence of God, one of the most amazing scenes depicted to us in the Bible. The moment of worship and being at awe of God, a lawgiver, an amazing God of heaven. But down in the valley, the people, while Moses was worshiping this amazing God, down in the valley, they were worshiping the idols. And remember, first two commandments are all about it. I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods. And down in the valley, they are worshiping idols. I put forward to you, this is the greatest battle, not only of their life with the people of Israel, but also of our own lives. The greatest battle is who is going to be supreme object of our worship and love. Is it God or the idol? An idol take many different forms. That will always be the greatest battle of our lives. That's what was happening there at the Mount Sinai and at the foot of the Mount Sinai. And it is within this context when he realizes how people quickly turned away from God, slipped away from God, who did so much for them in just very, very recent history. And they so quickly slipped away from him. It is at this moment that Moses is asking three requests from God, and every single one of them was granted to him. For us, too, God can do so much for us, but it is so easy to slip away from him. So therefore, we are there to go back to basics. That's why I'm choosing these three requests, three prayers that were granted one after the other. Number one, Moses' prayer. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you. Back to basics. That I may know you, in order to find favor in your sight. It's the first prayer. I want to know you. I put forward to you that he's seeking his righteousness. He's seeking to be close to God, right with God, in love with God. That's Moses. I want to know you. Moses knew really well that there is a barrier between holy God, amazingly beautiful God, just God, and him as a sinner. And that the solution is in the Lamb, who who takes away inadequacies of a person, moral failings of a person upon itself. And then I am cleansed. And then I am right with God. I want to know you. I want to know you, Moses said. And as a result, there is this exchange of life, a perfect life of a lamb for a marred life of a sinner. That was the first prayer. And he said to him, show me your ways. Show me your ways. I want to follow your ways. Follow God. He wants to live a life of a loving obedience, knowing God and living a life of following Him. Following Him. What was God's response? What was God's response? And He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Tick. First request, first prayer, back to basics. God said, yes, got it. And I want to tell you that this is not only once prayed. This is a daily prayer. I want to know you. And I want you to show me your ways. It's a daily prayer. It's back to basics. And God said, yep. I'm so glad you're asking that prayer. I'm so glad you are not praying to me for things added to you, but you're praying for me. I want to know you, Moses said, and God says, my presence will be with you. Moses said, show me your ways, and God said, I will give you rest. Do you see when your life is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you accept daily His perfect life for you, by faith, and you desire to follow Him, God says, I will give you rest. So in other words, you can work hard and still have a sense of rest, restfulness. The best time that you can have is when you live a life devoted to the gospel and you are working hard and you sense, yeah, I'm physically tired, but I feel fine. I am good. I feel okay. It's good with my soul. I want to know you. My presence will go with you. Show me your ways. I will give you rest. Daily. Tick. God says, I will. Second one. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? So Moses is saying, I'm praying for my people. I'm praying exactly the same prayer for them as I pray for myself. Remember what Jesus says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me. Moses prays for people exactly the same prayer that he prays for himself. You see, when you pray for others, what do you pray for? If you're a father and mother, you could pray that your son or your daughter gets a good boyfriend or girlfriend. I mean, what do you pray for? Okay, there's another one. You pray for somebody's health. Are these good things? Of course they are good things. But they are not essentials. They are not the essential. Oh, you are questioning me. I can see you are questioning me. Are you saying that for your son not to have a good wife, that's not essential? I'm not saying that. But it is still not essential. Pray for the essential. Pray for the essential, and even these things shall be added unto you, which are really important. I'm putting forward to you, if you pray for the essential, you don't even need to pray for other things. Ooh, somebody says. But I'm trying to push you and to tell you that it is the essential that we need to pray first and foremost. And if Jesus said all other things will be added to us, it includes all good things, which are yet still secondary. So, the same prayer Moses prayed for himself, and he prays for his people. Exactly the same prayer. I'm praying for the family. I'm praying that they may know you. Father, I pray for my son that he may know you. I pray for my daughter that she may know you. Let me ask you, is that more important prayer than praying, Father, I want my daughter to have a good boyfriend? Which one is better? Tell me, which one is more essential? Did you see why Moses is praying exactly the same prayer for the ones that mean to him so much? Exactly the same as he prays for himself. I pray for my family exactly what I pray for myself. I pray that my friend will know you and will follow you. I pray that my church family will know you and follow you. Yes, I pray for your health, but before I pray for your health, I pray that you may know him. Back to basics, people. Back to basics. The response? This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. When I pray, when I do my devotional prayers, I write them. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Write your prayers. And I want you to look at those, the prayer that you pray. And I want you to ask that basic question, do I pray essential? Do I pray essential? Let's look at the second question. Why do we ask for this first? Well, the obvious one is what I already said. If you ask first for God, everything else will be added unto you. If you are asking for added things, you might get it, but you might not. And definitely you will not get his righteousness and his kingdom. That just is implied in Jesus' statement. So what happens when we ask for added things? What happens? What happens is that God becomes unimportant. We take him for granted, but something else becomes more important. So what happens when God becomes unimportant? Well, this is what happens. When God becomes unimportant, something else has taken his place. Because we always have to have something that supremely reigns over our hearts. Our heart can never be empty of ultimate life's desire. It's never, ever empty. Something possesses our heart around which it turns and worships. It's never empty. So when God has lost that place, and remember first two commandments, when God has lost that place, idol automatically replaces it. Back to basics. That's why we are talking about back to basics. And it can be good things. The idols are typically good things. So when we say idol, don't be spooked by that. Because your child can be an idol. You know, so that these are the realities. All these added things are good things that God gives us. But they become supreme when God has lost his place. I just misspelled this, but you know what I'm saying here. We lose God's presence. When God is no longer number one, we lose God's presence. And restlessness kicks in. Remember that God said, and I will give you rest when I am with you, when my presence goes with you. When you are following me, you are at rest. But there's restlessness when the presence of God goes. Do you remember King Saul? The story starts well. God's presence is with him. So many good things happen with him. But then God's presence is gone because he turned his back to him. And he becomes restless. That's another symptom. It's just a symptom. If you are restless, it's time to get back to basics and pray a fundamental prayer. Prayer for God. You become anxious. The loss of the presence of God brings about or kicks in anxiety and fears. And ultimately, what happens when God takes second place, we become enslaved. Whatever occupies our heart as a supreme love of our life, we become servant and slaves to it. Typically. That's what happens typically. So this is now an invitation to you and me for this year. To get back to basics and pray a prayer of repentance. God, my prayer is for you in my life. Please forgive me for putting my idol substitute in your place. I want you more than anything else in my life. I fail, and I failed in the past miserably. I accept Jesus' perfect life. Accept his righteousness. And now let me abide in your presence. Now let me follow you in everything. Let's get back to basics. And there is a third prayer that I want to share with you. Moses cried out. The second one was granted, by the way, as you know. And the third one, Moses said, God, show me your glory. It's spine-tingling stuff when you think about Moses' desire and what he wanted supremely in his life and God's response to it. And that one was ticked. God, please show me your glory. Now, when you think about it, what was it really Moses, what was he asking? This is what I really believe. We start asking with greater emphasis for more of God's presence. There's nothing more specific, but just more of prayer number two. So what Moses is asking, with greater emphasis that he would more follow God. That's really what it is. And God said, okay. He said to him before, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. But Moses says, I want more of your presence and I want more of your rest. Show me your glory. And God said, yes, I'll give you that too. One tick, two tick, three tick. They're all essential. They're all essential. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand, and I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Look what God is saying to Moses. I will make my goodness pass before you. Moses sensed God's presence, and we read in the Bible that he saw him from the back. If I'm to ask you, have you ever sensed God's presence? Have you ever sensed God's presence in a very, very special way? I would put to you that we need to kind of sense God's presence very often, and I would put to you daily. But there are highlights in our life when it is more than usual. This was for Moses a highlight that left a mark on him that he would never forget. I remember it in my life. I was 19 years old, and I shared this with some of you. I was on a crossroad of my life. I was going through a crisis. I just started studying theology. And for some reason, just somehow out of blue, the depression came, flooded in. I would wake up, and as soon as I wake up, I would sweat and have another burdensome day in my life. I would wake up in the morning depressed. I would go to bed depressed. And I did not know why, what just hit me. And it was going on and on for days. And I came to the point when I was so desperate and I was seeking God more than ever in my life. Came to a crossroad where the religion of my dad was not going to cut it anymore for me. My dad was one of the greatest influences in my life. Probably my greatest spiritual influence. But the religion of my dad would work no more for me. That was it. And I made it. I was determined that either God was real or he was not. And I remember Friday night, I knelt and I prayed. And I said, God, and I prayed exactly the same prayer like Moses. I want to know you. Are you real? Tomorrow morning, 4:30, wake me up. I want to know you. I did not ask for anything. I just wanted to know whether he is real and who are you. That was my prayer. Out of desperation, out of the crisis of my life. I was not even asking that he would take away the depression from me. I wanted to know him. I was coming back to basics, the very bone of it. Are you real? Prayed my prayer of desperation Friday night. Tomorrow morning, 4:30, God kicks me at the back. 4:30, pitch black dark. As something hits me or someone hits me, I was lying on a lower bank bed and I just jerkingly get up. And I say, what just happened? And I could not remember for a second my prayer that I prayed previous night. Then suddenly it hit me what I prayed. And I looked at my watch. And guess what? Not one minute before, not one minute after. Exactly 4:30, he woke me up. And then it was kind of fear that just permeated through me. But not bad kind of fear, but a good kind of fear. I sensed his presence. And I kind of trembled, but in a good kind of sense. That was the massive turnaround in my life. Massive turnaround in my life. All my good friends realized within a week or two that something happened to me. The presence of God. Back to basics. And I am sure that some of you would have experienced the special presence of God. What a moment for Moses. And I'm putting forward to you that we need to sense God's special presence on a daily basis. Maybe not in this drastic way, but in some special measured way that you need every single day of your life. You need it. Moses sensed it. Moses saw him from the back. Moses experienced it. My goodness will pass before you. It is something that is, that has to be experienced. It not, cannot be put into words. It is something that is felt. It is something that is tangibly real. And we want it. My goodness, God says, will pass before you. But then he said, I will proclaim my name. While we need this special presence, we need to hear something from God. I want you to see that Moses is saying, God said to Moses, I will proclaim my name. So Moses heard him speak. And as a result, he experienced something. What did he hear? This is what he heard. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord. The Lord. A God merciful and gracious. Do you need to hear that? How often do you need to hear this? I put forward to you, you need to hear it daily. You need to sense his presence, but you need to hear it. God merciful and God gracious, slow to anger. Oh, don't you love that? Don't you love that your God is slow to anger? It's not like me, eh? It's not like you. Don't you love that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? If great God of heaven can say for himself that he's abounding in consistent, persistent love for you, don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear that? And he's saying that to you. Do you hear it only today? You need to hear it tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Hear it again and again. You want his presence. You want to hear this being said to your ears daily. Bounding in steadfast love, in faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. This is God who is abounding in grace, abounding in love, abounding in mercy, and he's steadfast in it daily, always. And still, and in spite of that, we go our own way. But he said, look, I am still just God. I am still holy God. So guilty remains guilty unless that is dealt with. Iniquities, if they are not dealt with, will be revisited. That is a nature of reality. If you persist, you will reap the consequences of your choices. So, Moses sensed his presence. Moses heard him. Moses experienced him. And lastly, he reflected him. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. Sensing his presence daily, hearing him, opening this book, and seeing beyond the words of the book, tuning in to the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing yourself to be fed at the level of your mind and at the level of your heart. Hearing it, experiencing it, and then reflecting it. We'll live the most fulfilled and most meaningful life when we pray the essential. You remember how I started the sermon? Either you will be a person who prays to God, and we all do, or you will be a person who prays for God. And there is a difference between the two. Back to basics. I pray that God is going to put on your heart and on my heart a desire for this. As you sense that there is a battle over your heart for who is going to be a supreme leader, who is going to be ultimate beauty, ultimate attraction, and ultimate master of your life. And God is calling you back to basics. I'm going to give this book to anyone who comes first. You don't need this book, but some of you need something just to start you off, And I have about 50 of those. They are free of charge. And may God bless you as this year for us is going back to basics. Let us sing our last hymn now.